Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Monica Amazor podcast. It's Monica here and I wanted to invite you to listen in to a conversation with Chantel Brown. Chantel has been a client since about 2018. We connected on Instagram when I was running my very first studio through hashtag women empowerment. Yes, it was possible back then to connect through social media and we've been working ever since. Now, Chantel is a very special person to me. She shares about a lot of things from her health journey through work advancements, through participating in our fitness program and of course fitness as well. But to me personally, Chantel is a very special person and I acknowledged her in our conversation, but I also want to acknowledge her here at the beginning because her participation was not very typical, and here is what I mean by that. Chantel was a client for quite some time, and she wasn't really doing the fitness program per design, but she was taking inspiration, motivation, and example from other women in the community, and in our private Facebook group also, and she was creating her own changes in her life, her professional life and her personal life. And so even though she wasn't participating in the fitness part of the program, and that's what she signed up for, she was advancing in her life. And what that did to me as a coach, a seasoned coach, is it made me realize, and it's been a couple of years now, but it made me realize that each one of my clients and people who are around, people who participates in the things that I offer for you, participates in their own way. And I might see it, or I might have seen it as a coach back then, that a participation of someone should look like, if you're signing up for a fitness program, you're training Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you're getting certain results. But it doesn't have to look this way because Chantel, through her participation, got so much more and fitness came when she was ready. So listen in, you will be inspired, you will be motivated, and listen in all the way to the end because we talk about so many important things that I think will resonate with you as someone who I know is committed to improving yourself, to always growing, learning, and increasing your self-awareness. Thank you for being here. Hello, Chantel.
Hi, Monica.
I'm so excited we're doing this. So where are we going to begin? Let's dive right in. I want to begin with the fact that you so randomly found me on Instagram. Because yes. People don't think you can connect on Instagram anymore, but it's not true.
No, definitely not true. I know I was kind of thinking about it and I was like, I don't search much on Instagram, to be honest. And I was like, what was compelling me to search as it was for the hashtags I was searching for? And I realized it was kind of a bit of a chaotic time. I left one job for another. This was 2017. Mm-hmm. And this job, it was a spot where I really wanted, like a field I wanted to get into. But it only lasted for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I was super disappointed when it ended because it was kind of a volatile ending. And I was like super depressed about it. And I was just looking, I think, for like a place to like pull like inspiration from, kind of pick myself back up. And I was searching for women empowerment.
Yes.
And
so
that
funny
was
how you found fitness through it, right?
Right. And that was how I found you. And I remember for the longest time, I just kind of lurked around like most people do, you know, like just kind of watch stories every once in a while, sometimes daily. And then finally, I just felt like I want to actually connect with this person.
And we started chatting quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long time ago. It was like my first studio, my second studio. And that's the thing. Like, I remember you from, you know, 2019, 18, when, you know, business was completely different. Instagram was completely different. And
yeah.
To me, because you are all the way across the United States in Oregon, for me, you know, having always been here on the East Coast, to me, you're like from faraway countries. Which obviously you're not, but it was always interesting to me to see because I've traveled there, but I've never lived there. And
yeah.
So it was interesting to see how, you know, the houses look a little different and how the weather was a little different. And so it was always interesting for me to see because it was almost like cultural learnings of the United States.
Right.
As an immigrant, which I'm sure the people who live in one place never go anywhere, they also could learn some things. But so you joined BBM. Do you remember when you joined?
I don't. I really don't.
It's been at least, I mean, during the pandemic, you were already training.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not really sure, actually. I feel like it might have been around 2018. Like there was kind of a bit of a space between when I was when I followed you, when I connected with you versus like when I signed up. And like my fitness journey has never been like linear. It's been always like this up and down and non-existent to, you know, full on. It's just kind of its own thing initially. So, you know, I would do the programs for a while and then would not.
And then you had your daughter also somewhere in between, in the middle, right? How old is she
Yes.
now?
She just turned 3 this year. So she was an unintentional pandemic baby.
Oh, there you go. Well, you definitely trained before. So, but you know what I think about you? When I think of you, Chantel, I think that besides the fact that, of course, you have a beautiful fitness transformation, and I see it clearly when you come live on Saturdays and I get to see you, but you are someone who were in the community, and through being in the community and taking whatever it is that you were taking from the community, whether inspiration or motivation or seeing other people do other things, you've really transformed your life besides fitness.
So
Can you
I,
talk a little bit about it?
yes. So when before I was pregnant, I was working part-time at a parts store. And that was kind of just, you know, the way things were. It was just kind of like complacency. It was just, you know, comfortable. And then I got pregnant. And I thought, you know, I'll just stick it out here part time. That way I can stay home with Letty part time. And, you know, we'll just do that till she's in school. So, like, I had like this 5-year plan of just, you know, doing this low key thing for 5 years. But the agreement I had with my employer versus when I came back were two different things. They changed their mind kind of midway through my maternity leave. And I was like, why am I still here? You know, I log in and I'm looking at these other women in our group that are just, you know, they're killing it. I mean, let's face it, they're just hitting goals left and right, personally, fitness wise. And I'm just like, I want that for myself. You know, I want that. I need that. And so that change with my employer, that they decided to, you know, make these changes while I was gone, I was like, this job is no longer benefiting me. Like, I'm giving to it, but it's not giving me anything in return. And so I was like, you know what? It's gonna be what it's gonna be. We'll make the adjustments, but I'm out of here. Like I kind of felt that bit of push, that bit of drive. And I was only back from my maternity leave like a week before I left.
That's amazing.
Was like one of the best feelings, to be honest. The job that I took after that, I'm still with that employer now, but I started out a front desk at a bank, and this was very much the height of pandemic, and I pretty much got to be the guard at the door, and it was not easy trying to, you know, enforce these rules that, you know, not everybody agrees with, and it was a fun time.
Yeah, I bet. And I know that there's going to be other BBMs who are going to listen to this and they will be able to relate to exactly what you're sharing.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild time there for a while. Just like nobody could have prepared me for. I was thinking front desk, like, yeah, okay, greet people, kind of help them out, like nothing. I had 2 days of training, and then they were like, here you go, because the person you're taking their spot, they're leaving. So it was like a super quick transition, and I stayed in the branch for about a year and a half. Everything finally, you know, opened back up. We got on the other side of the pandemic. And a position opened up in accounting for my credit union. And I was like, well, you know, they're kind of like, either you're going to stay here and you're going to become a teller, or you can look at a different position elsewhere. And I was like, I don't want to be a teller. That's not my bread and butter. So my accounting background is what helped me get my foot in the door with accounting here. So I've now been with the accounting department for a year and a half, but even that was, you know, I was nervous. I remember actually both times when I initially applied for this for this current employer, I remember going into the group and asking the girls, like, hey, I have a job interview coming up. It's a virtual. Any tips? Any tips? Because I'm not used to doing anything by camera. And so many of them, you know, so nice to reply and kind of give me pointers. And it was great. And the same thing when I applied for accounting, it was like, I came in, I had a couple questions, and just the amount of support in general is just, it's so nice and so refreshing.
I know, I love it. And you know, the thing that comes to me right away is that how I always hear from you, ladies, all of them who work with me, you know, about their successes or about your promotions or about your jobs. And I'm always like, go share in the group. Yeah. So that the group is not only a place of like asking questions or sharing problems or issues or concerns or sharing when you're down, but also a place of celebration, because just like you said, seeing other people win made you want to take your own responsibility for your own life and create something for yourself that you wanted to create.
Yeah.
So this is exactly, you know, when I think of you, this is exactly what I see. And you actually with this made me change quite a bit how I see and I go about people like being in the community, because coming from a fitness background and wanting to help you primarily when people would join primarily with fitness, I would always maybe not make myself wrong, but just kind of, you know, worry about the people who were quote unquote not participating in the fitness program per design, right? They're not checking in all the workouts. They are not doing all the things that we're doing, whether coming to coaching calls, coming to live training sessions, and, you know, not sharing, they're not posting, they're not asking. But you were someone who was a very clear proof of the fact that just being in the community can help you transform your life to a way greater extent that fitness could transform it. I mean, fitness is very powerful and it's foundation of your life and everybody's life, but you really took whatever you needed to take at that time and created such amazing results for yourself beyond fitness. And I really, through you, Chantel, and I probably have never said it out loud this way, but through you, I really saw, and I had that conversation at that time a while ago with my mentor at that time, being like, you know, I really realized that how people participate in what I put out is up to them. And I am not a very good judge ever, really, unless someone tells me, like from far away, you cannot see what this person is getting, because maybe someone just being around feels motivated and they do things in their lives differently. And they might not include fitness at that given point time. Maybe they're only motivated to take a walk every day instead of lifting every single day and doing 10,000 steps. But maybe that's exactly what they have the space and the ability to do at that time. And maybe they will grow. And I mean, look at you now. Now, what point was it? Because you clearly also did start lifting, did start getting fitness results, and you also transformed yourself physically too.
It's definitely, I feel like it's been a lot this year. I mean, to be honest, I'm trying to think like a timeline, you know, like the end of last year, I was just kind of like, you know, I'm feeling kind of blah. I'm not really digging this feeling. And it just was like, there's gotta be a little bit more to it, you know, like I gotta get a little bit more out of life at this point. Like I'm missing something. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm already paying for the BBM service. Like I'm using the group, but obviously I'm not really utilizing it as much as I could for the time that I currently had. I was doing a lot of walking, especially on my lunches and stuff when I was working from home. And I remember posting about that a lot in the group as well.
Yes, I loved your pictures. That's what I said. I loved seeing the other side of the United States. I'm always like, show the pictures. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it kind of actually, it's a kind of a, oh, what am I thinking of here? It's two issues that kind of came together. Was like, I was initially just not feeling well. Last year was very chaotic, to say the least. a lot of different health issues arising in the family and whatnot, and different people who need more, you know, care and whatnot. So last year was very taxing emotionally. And so I just was like, okay, walking is kind of helping me work through it, but we need to go back to weightlifting. I do enjoy weightlifting. I remember talking to you about this quite a while ago. Like, my favorite thing is arms.
Mm-hmm.
I love arms. I don't know why. That is my favorite thing to work on. But anyway, so around Christmas last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a new Fitbit. I've already got the scale that I really thoroughly enjoy. Like, I'm just gonna hit the ground running. I think I actually started my Fitbit like midway through December and just kind of started doing some things there. And the weight started coming off. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, like I'm seeing these results here. But I also felt like I was kind of actually losing weight quicker than the effort I was putting in, which sounds like a really weird thing to kind of be hung up on, but it caught my attention. And I was like, that's kind of weird, but I'm like, you know what? It's fine. So fast forward into March of this year, and it's around my birthday. And Chris and I went to dinner. We went and got like sandwiches. It was super late, like an 8:30 PM dinner. We had sandwiches. We got home and I just was like, man, you know, I really, when I think about it, like, I've been drinking lots of water lately, like a compulsion. Been like a compulsion to just drink this water. And like, and just things aren't feeling right. The water was weird. And there was something else I can't remember now that was a symptom for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, I have my glucose meter. I had gestational diabetes, so I was kind of familiar with these symptoms of high blood sugars. And so I went ahead and tested, and I was like, yeah, it was a carb-heavy dinner, but I'll test anyways. And my blood sugar was 426.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, for somebody with normal functioning, you know, body, that should never be a thing. And so I was like, well, I've got a doctor's appointment in a few weeks. I'll bring it up then. And then I got up the next morning and tested, and it was still fairly high. And I'm like, you know, this shouldn't wait. So I went to the doctor's. She, of course, also ran the same, you know, similar tests. And they said, well, it looks like you're type 2 diabetic. So I was like, okay. So the gestational diabetes, obviously, like there's an issue here that's kind of all-encompassing. So we started some metformin prescription for, it's the first thing that they use for type 2 diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me on my way. I had my nutritional consult and we went through all these different things. And I don't know, 3-4 weeks went by and I told my doctor, I said, the sugars aren't coming down. Like, they're not really budging. I'm still like in the high 200s. Like, I should be waking up closer to 100. Something's not right.
You had all the knowledge already from back mm-hmm. in the day with your daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you were advocating for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we did a little more testing and stuff, and, you know, we really couldn't find anything at the time. And we said, you know, just keep at it. We'll, you know, if we need to, we can supplement you with insulin, but let's keep at what we're doing. We'll just up your metformin. And I'm like, okay. Well, we got to the end of April and I started feeling terrible. Walking was difficult. Standing was difficult. It was such a physical exertion to just exist. I was so concerned I was going to drop Letty when I was holding her. It was like a slow walk of death. That's how I describe it. Like, it was just terrible. And so I got some ketone testing strips and tested, and I had a high amount of ketones in my urine. So I called my doctor. I'm like, hey, we need to test my blood for ketones. Like, something's really bad here. So I went in, had the test done. She came back with the results and she said, well, you're in diabetic ketoacidosis, also known as DKA. She says, so your blood is acidic, but it's not too bad. We can have you try and treat it at home with insulin. We can start you on insulin, or you can go to the emergency room. I'm like, wow. Well, I said, you know, I have to travel next week by myself for 3 hours down an interstate. I don't think I should sit on this. I'm just going to take myself to the ER. So my husband came home and got me. And I left on Thursday afternoon, got to the ER, and I was there for 2 hours, and they said, "We're keeping you." So I was like, cool. Got admitted to the hospital. I was there for 2.5 days. I learned while I was in there that that was part of the reason why the weight was coming off so quickly, despite the fact that I was making these efforts. My body was just running in a state of strictly ketosis, even though I wasn't trying to be in that state. And so my body was just eating away at itself. So we got that righted. I got discharged. I was still waiting on some other blood work to come back. It didn't come back until I was gone the following weekend. With my friend, we went on a girls' weekend. That blood work confirmed that I was actually a type 1 diabetic, not a type 2. And I did learn that it is very possible as an adult to develop type 1 diabetes. Your body produces autoantibodies and attacks your pancreas. But it mind boggles me still to think about it, the fact that my body was attacking itself and I had no idea.
I mean, to
So
me,
crazy.
what's crazy, Chantelle, is the fact that, I mean, had you not had that knowledge from the pregnancy and, I mean, something really bad could have happened to you.
Oh yeah, no, I still look back and I think I'm so thankful that I had the ideas, that the knowledge to put into place what was going on. Because I was kind of just thinking, to be honest, like I was like, I just have a really bad cold. Like something's coming on and I'm just, I'm not feeling well.
I mean,
And
just like you're saying, caring for your daughter, traveling, working, driving, all of this is really dangerous stuff. And had you not advocated for yourself and tested yourself, had you not had the knowledge, it could have been really much worse. And you know me, I like to see positive in every situation. So it's not like a great thing that happened to you, but at the same time, so good that you were able to navigate through all this with your knowledge and just kind of like good grit, because many people in the situation just kind of give up.
And that, even my time in the hospital, I, kind of chit chat with the nurse and stuff. And I said, "Do you find that a lot of people are resistant to this type of situation?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "I can't imagine. I could not imagine denying this situation. Like, it's my life." You know, the disease is, I mean, I hate to say it this way, it's very black and white. It's a life or death. You either take care of yourself or you don't, and you could have short-term consequences or very long-term consequences. But that's also what's kind of spurred my journey this year with the fitness, is because I, even though type 1 diabetes isn't necessarily weight dependent or lifestyle dependent, carrying extra weight can lead to things like insulin resistance, where you end up needing to take more insulin. So I'm like, you know what? Like, let's just keep at it. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? Lose some weight, better fitting pants, like,
I mean, your booty's popping away this small. Everything is in the right place. So, no, I mean, ultimately, it's only going to get you better. And I feel like a lot of times dealing with these health issues, Christina just talked this week on the podcast about her cancer diagnosis, and any kind of health issues really just make us look at either ours or close people to us, make us look at health from a different perspective. Because while we all want to look good, when it comes to situations like yours or cancer, it's literally life and death. And even with you, just the fact that you could fall or have a car accident with the blood sugar fluctuations, that could have been really very dangerous immediately. So I'm so glad that you addressed it so quickly.
Yeah,
But it
me
probably
too.
didn't feel quickly as you were doing
You
it.
know, and we're still learning a lot of things as we go on. I have an insulin pump on the way, which will hopefully help to keep things more, more under control. But, my aunt put it this way: you're gonna become an expert in a subject you never thought you'd be an expert in.
That's so
And
true.
I'm like, cool, okay.
And I'm so glad you're speaking about it, because who knows who this can benefit, and perhaps leaving something in somebody's head that where someone else is dealing with something or something else later in life shows up, and then they know, just like you did from your pregnancy times, right? How has your life changed now with the diagnosis? Do you do things differently other than just obviously being mindful of your food and fitness and monitoring yourself?
For right now, we are not traveling a lot. I still feel like my blood sugars fluctuate low more often than I would like, so I don't like to be too far away from like civilization. So right now the traveling is more minimal. Definitely the watching what I eat, but it the nice this is kind of funny. The nice thing, so with like type 2 diabetics, you know, they're on a more like restrictive based diet. Type 1s, there's not really anything that's necessarily off limits. It's you just have to take insulin to cover what you're eating. But
Got
at the
it.
same time, I'm like, you know, I'm definitely more mindful of looking at the carb count since that's what my insulin dosage is dependent on. And I'll be like, is that really worth that amount of carbs though? Like, am I really going to be satisfied with myself or that meal if I have it? Because I'm very much a foodie based person. You know, I like to love my food. I like it to look nice. Like it's the whole thing. So that definitely, you know, I'm definitely more thoughtful with my food. Letty has taken it very well in stride. She surprises me. I mean, I know they say children are sponges, but this kid, she has totally surprised me. She started with telling me blood sugars go up and down, and I was like, oh, okay, she's caught that my blood sugars fluctuate. And she's now knows and has figured out, you know, what the insulin looks like and that I take it. She points it out. Like, so, you know, it's educational from her from the outside. And my husband is more aware of me when, you know, if I seem like I'm kind of zoning out or something, he's a little more, are you okay? You know, but there it hasn't been, I don't feel like majorly impactful as it could have been. The reason though why I say that is because I realized shortly after my diagnosis that the key to being happy despite this struggle, despite this hurdle, is being flexible.
Absolutely.
If I am inflexible, I don't want to budge on what I'm eating or how I'm performing things in, you know, in my life. If I don't want to take the insulin, like it's just going to be difficult. You know, so I just need to learn to be flexible, take, you know, take my insulin as it's needed and, you know, as it's prescribed, and, you know, don't let this be the end all, you know, like I can still travel later when we've got it all figured out. And, you know, it's just all about flexibility. If you can't be flexible, you're going to struggle so much, I feel like, with happiness in life.
I agree with you. And also, it's a proof too to how adaptable we are as human beings if we want to be, when we want to be, because you can move your whole life upside down just because you need to. And, you know, some people will resist it, but in my belief, what we resist will persist and it will weigh heavily on us, way heavier than if you just like lean in and just deal with what's happening, what's coming your way. I feel like this is such a good takeaway. But before, I'm so thankful, Chantelle, because a lot of things that you shared here through the health stuff, through your work and advancements in your life. But is there anything, and I know a lot of people will resonate with those two just alone, but is there anything else that you would like to leave people with before we go? Because I think these two are huge, but maybe there's a third. Well, and the third one is being flexible. But is there anything else that you want to wrap it up with?
I mean, in the end, I mean, yeah, flexible is very important, but you know, even as we're coming right now to the end of the year, you know, we just hit December, and like you have to have you just have to have flexibility. You can't be all or nothing. It's okay if you're only doing a little bit. You know, right now my weightlifting is only on Saturdays. I'm only doing this once a week. My results are coming from a once a week weightlifting, mindful eating. Could I have accelerated results if I did more than one day a week? Oh, absolutely. But right now, I mean, granted, mine is kind of a unique situation because also weightlifting can raise your blood sugars because it's anaerobic. So, you know, I'm kind of also watching that, but you know, it even if you're not giving the same percentage as that person over there, it's about what you're giving to yourself.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you just have to give yourself that grace and say, you know what, if I'm only working out 3 days this week, then I only worked out 3 days this week, but I worked out 3 days this week. Like, celebrate the 3 days that you worked out. Celebrate the one day. You know, I feel like sometimes we do get too sidetracked on focusing on how well other people are performing versus ourselves. It kind of creates a self-sabotage.
And it takes your attention from you and what you could be celebrating about you or what you could be doing with your time. And instead you're spending this time, and I, you know, like to call it what it is, and that is wasting the time focusing where your results are not going to grow.
There's a podcast that you did. I can't remember what episode it was, but you were talking about people. Sometimes it's kind of like riding next to people on the highway. But you ride with them for a while, and sometimes they pull ahead, sometimes fall behind, but like it's not your job to drag them with you. And that really resonated with me because I felt like at the time I had friends that I was just kind of like, come with me, friend, come with me. And that took attention away from myself. I should have been giving myself that energy and attention at the time than that person trying to drag them with me.
That's so, you know, I know this, and I think a lot of us in our community will re in BBM community will resonate, because it's, you know, when you're changing and you're progressing, you want to help others and take them with you to kind of, you know, have your little bubble. But the truth is that it's better to find your little bubble at every stage of your life, because if you try to pull them with you, you will slow yourself down. And if they want to come along, they will. If you're making them, you're carrying a heavy load, and it doesn't guarantee, nothing is guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that they will respond well and come with you. Or maybe they are going to be mad at you that you're making them instead of being thankful that you're taking the time, energy, and resources from your life and yourself and doing it. So it's always best to just focus on yourself, absolutely. And it's not selfish, because, you know, and I like to say this, especially to people with kids, it's not selfish, because you're teaching your kids how to be. You're teaching your kids that taking care of you is important, because at the end of the day, they will grow up doing and being who you show them to be. Like, not what you told them. It's funny, because, you know, I moved away from home very early. I mean, very early, as for Polish standards. And when I speak to my parents now, they oftentimes say, you know, even though you spent half of your life away from us, there's so much that you're doing and who you are just the way we are. And it's like, yeah, because I watched you when I was growing up. That's what it is. I didn't Listening is one thing. You might think, you know, the kids are listening, but watching and having that example. And I mean, you've just shown to your daughter, even before she was born, she doesn't know that. We know that, you know, you wanted to advance your work, so you did. You wanted to advance your fitness, so you did. You want to progress in your life, so you're doing it, and dealing with health issues and still doing it. And that's like super commendable, because I feel like the person who you were in 2017, 18, when we first connected, when you had your job, and that was that. Now having, and of course you were married, but you know, that's besides the point. Now having the family, having the child, having a cat, let's not forget the animals,
Oh, yes, of course.
and working out at 6 in the morning with me all the way from Oregon, and you know, the work advancements and everything else that you've dealt with, you've grown tremendously.
Oh yeah, I even think back to like my early 20s, and I sometimes I'm like, I can't believe, like, past me would be like, wow, future you, look at you go. Like, I never would have pegged myself as somebody to learn to become outgoing, to self-advocate the way that I do. You
That's
know, it,
beautiful.
I definitely, I mean, I'm still finding my confidence, but even, you know, Chris, he's noticed, and he'll say, you're walking taller. You know, like, yeah, it's partly posture, but it's, I feel more confident. And I can tell in my walk. Sometimes I catch even myself when I'm walking, like, oh, I'm walking super tall today. You know.
Love it. No, it's so beautiful, and I want to thank you not only for your time today, Chantel, but really you shifted how I look at helping people. And I've been doing this for 15 years, and you specifically, by just being in the community, and I was like, This person, it's not like she's posting before and afters every single day, but she is transforming her life beyond just exercising. And then the exercising came along at, when you were
Yeah.
ready. But you took what you wanted to take, you took what you needed to take, and you benefited from the community and being in the community the way you wanted to. And it absolutely shifted how I see at helping people and how I look at helping people and how I see people benefiting from what it is that I put out there, because it's not straightforward as like, yes, you will grow glutes and you will have a better posture and you will get leaner. That too, but that could be also you'll get confident, you'll want to get to different goals, you will get inspired, you will get motivated, and you will do things that you didn't think were possible before. So thank you, because you really showed me that what and how I do and what and how I like see as progress for clients is not necessarily the right thing. And now I see things from so much broader perspective, thanks to you.
Oh.
So thank you. Thank you, thank you,
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you so much, Chantel, for being here. I really appreciate you.
Okay, I got one more thing I want to say because there's one
Say
more thing
it.
I'm still using. There's something I'm using that I haven't. That I can't remember when you said it. It was a very long time ago, and it actually was one of your stories. So very long time ago. But the other thing is when I feel like anxiety about, like, say I want to do something, I want to ask somebody, for something or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's the job or, I want to ask for a raise or apply for something. Anyways, there was a story that you had talked about, and you said at one point, if you never ask, the answer is always no. I cannot tell you at this point how many times I have used that logic to ask for things
Beautiful.
that I wanted because I was like really afraid that they would tell me no. And I'm like, well, if I don't ask, I'm telling myself no.
Yes. I mean, when people say, asking and not asking, the answer is no if you don't ask. So you already have like the bad case, worst case
Right.
scenario. So like you can only you have 50% chance that you will have a better scenario.
Right.
That's true. I mean, and I'm so glad you're using this because people so often are so afraid to ask, whether that be a raise or promotion or changes at work or raises of their prices in their businesses. And it's like, well, if you don't ask, the answer is no automatically. So
Yeah.
there's no, you already have that. You don't ask, but you're not asking because you're afraid of the worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario is already your reality.
Yeah. So yeah. I just want to let you
So
know that.
make it make sense. Thank you. That is awesome. And I know that people who didn't hear this yet will hear it now and hopefully they'll remember this in their head. So thank you, Chantel. I so appreciate you. Go do the thing you wanted to do today. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of the community for so long already. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.